The reading this morning is taken from the last chapter of the first book of Chronicles, which you'll find in the Pew Bibles on page 416. That's 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 20. Gifts for building the temple. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for human beings, but for the Lord God. With all my resources I have provided for the temple of my God. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colours, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these things in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give all my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple: 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and for the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the skilled workers. Now, who among you is willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord today?" Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave towards the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 10,000 darics of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had any precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel, the Jerushalite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of the leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David, the king, also rejoiced greatly.
David's prayer. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You're exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever, and keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Praise the Lord your God." So they all praised the Lord, the God of their fathers. They bowed down, prostrating themselves before the Lord and the king.
Thank you so much. It was a long reading, but I hope you stuck with it as we went through. It's been a great summer of sport. We started with England doing reasonably well in the World Cup. And then as it's gone on, there have been all sorts of other competitions and championships, particularly the European championships with swimming and diving and gymnastics and athletics, some happening up in Scotland, some happening over in Germany. And it all came to a close on the final day with the relay race. And coming up to the final of the women's 4x100 metres, Great Britain had made the final, just about, but the Dutch were way, way out ahead. And the race was about to start. And we're going to watch the women's 4x100 race. Great Britain are in lane 3, and the Dutch, I think, are in lane 4. You can work out other nationalities as you watch it.
The baton changes will have to be crisp and precise for the Brits. So Great Britain, Aisha Phillips, will try and hunt down Daphne Skippers, and Skippers has flown out of the blocks, and at the moment the Dutch have about a metre lead. The baton is safely passed on by the Britons. Imani Lansico, sixth in the 100 metres, is going down the back straight, but it's still the Dutch who are flying high. That baton change was superb for the Britons. It's with Bianca Williams. Williams is chasing. The Germans are flying as well. Here's Dina Asher-Smith. Can she make it three? She's got some ground to make up. Look at the Swiss, they're flying. And here comes Asher-Smith. She is imperious. She has been the best by a mile this week. And the time, 41.88. Well, she doesn't pick up the British record, but it's just about the only thing she hasn't collected all week. Great Britain have a gold in the relay.
It was a good race to watch. I hope you don't mind me showing it to you again. When it comes to a relay race, the secret is in passing the baton well. If you don't pass the baton well, and those of you who follow athletics will know of many British relay races where we haven't passed the baton well and we've ended up being disqualified. But the key in that race was between the second and third leg, where they said, and that was a superb handover. And that person running the third leg was able to make up a lot of ground, and then Dina Asher-Smith on the final leg, the last leg, has an amazing burst of speed. But the secret to a good relay is to pass the baton well. And in my situation, coming up to a sabbatical starting tomorrow, though we'll be back for a few weddings, and then a period of gardening leave while we get a chance to discover what God has for us, and also you to discover what God has for you next in terms of the future direction of the church. We recognise that is harder while I'm still here and still around. We'll keep you informed on what's happening with us, and really appreciate your prayers as we will be praying for you. So today is my passing the baton on. And in our Bible reading today, there's another David, King David, and he is passing the baton on to his son Solomon, especially in relation to the plans to build the temple. And there are a few key lessons there that seem to relate to our situation as we seek to build the kingdom of God. And as I move on. And the first of those is to recognize that we are weak. Right at the beginning of that passage, Solomon is described as young and inexperienced. And it's so helpful to recognize our limitations. Later in the passage, David describes himself saying, "Who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? We are weak." A friend of mine once described humility as considering yourself at your very, very best, with all your greatest qualities and ignoring your frailties, and then comparing yourself to God. And there's something of that here. David is not doing himself down in any kind of humble brag, kind of look at me and how humble I am. David is and has been able to be incredibly generous in the planning for the building of the temple. He can describe himself as having acted with integrity and honesty, knowing that God will test his heart. You see, we are weak, but the task is vast. For David and Solomon, physically building a temple in Jerusalem to be a center of worship for the Jews and all those that they would reach with the good news, was a monumental task. For us, we are called to be building the kingdom of God, demonstrating Jesus Christ as Lord and as the focus of worship for Christians and all those around the world that we will reach with the good news. At the end of his time on earth, Jesus gave his disciples a great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. As Pete prayed for our world and gave us some prompts to pray for the world, you may have noticed that job has not finished yet. That commission still stands, and it is now our commission to be doing that. And the task is vast, but the task is also vital. For David and Solomon, having a center for worship, it was pivotal in keeping the Jews on track with their God. History shows that the generation after Solomon, the nation split. Those that remained with Jerusalem as their center had some ups and downs. There were times they followed God, there were times they moved away from him. Those who'd left Jerusalem, who no longer had that as their focus, as their call back to God again, every king that is named is said they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. That northern kingdom that had separated away, nothing more to do with the temple or Jerusalem, had a long downward slide into exile and oblivion. And for us, the task that we're called to is also vital. Those who live and die without Jesus are not just lost in this life, but they're lost for all eternity, because there is no other name by which people may be saved. The task is vast, the task is vital, and the task is valuable. For David, he had used huge amounts of his personal wealth, piled it into the getting ready for the building of the temple. And the population followed his example, giving to the building work. For us, being part of the family of God through Jesus Christ is so precious that Jesus once compared it with a man who discovered a treasure buried in a field. He sold everything that he had. He gave it all up so that he could buy that field. And if you're like me and you've got that slight cynical streak, and I'm sure none of you do, you think, but by buying the field where they didn't know there was the treasure, he got an awful lot of good value for that money. So Jesus tells another parable, this time about a pearl merchant who sells everything he has because he's found one pearl. A massive, great, wonderful, amazing pearl. And he sells everything to get that because it's so beautiful, so amazing, so fantastic. I don't know whether any of you have tried to live off a pearl. You can't eat it. You can't live in it. You can't travel on it. It's rather limited. And yet it was so amazing that it was worth giving everything else up for. The kingdom that we have, that we are building together as God works through us by his Spirit, that's how precious, how valuable it is. So we are weak and the task is vast, it's vital, it's valuable, and we are equipped to carry out this task because we are worshippers. We are those who live in a relationship with God, and that should permeate our whole lives. And within that relationship, there are certain things that happen. We, in Christ, we receive. And David here recognizes, coming from being the youngest son of a farming family, that the only reason he could give so much to the building of the temple is because God had given it to him. He'd been pulled out of obscurity and anointed to be the next king of Israel. He would have nothing if God had not given it to him. And we are the same. Now, I don't know what possessions you have, and I don't know whether they came to you through inheritance or as gifts or through working or on benefits or whether you stole them. I think those are all the options. However it came, we, like David, need to recognize that everything in heaven and on earth is his. We only have it because he's entrusted it to us for a time. If what you have is stolen, we can have a chat about that later. See, our possessions are not truly our possessions. They are God's possessions and we are stewards of them. And because of that, we can hold them more lightly. And that leads us to the second aspect of this relationship that David speaks of. Yes, we receive, but also we give. We're free to give back to God what is already his. Now, it's easy to see in some ways how we might do that with our stuff, with our money. We even have part of our services here on a Sunday dedicated to helping you do that as we pass the little red bags around. And I know that many give in other ways, standing orders and so on. It's a good thing to do, and I say that with a diminishing interest personally in what is given here. But it's not the only way we give. We give our time, our talents, ourselves to serve God's purposes. Now, since coming to Hartford Baptist Church, I have been touched and inspired by so many of you. But there is one person who stands out in this regard. Any week that she arrives early, usually because her dad is going to be singing, but she might come early for another reason, Esme will come up and say, "What can I do to help?" And she will not take nothing for an answer. What can I do? How can I help? How can I get involved? What can I do? And there hasn't always been something practical for her to do. But the joy with which she comes and the willingness to serve has personally helped me so much. And it's been a constant source of delight to me in the 3 years that I've had the privilege to serve here. King David, in our passage that we're looking at, has been looking for people to give themselves to serve. In one translation of the passage that was read to us, the question is phrased, "Now who is ready to give themselves to the service of the Lord today?" And that's a question we all need to grapple with every time we have a new today. As you leave today, one of the stewards will pass you a baton with that verse written on it. Can I encourage you to put it somewhere that will remind you to serve God daily? That might mean putting it up on your fridge or by your kettle. It might mean using it as a bookmark in your Bible, if that's something that you'll go to each day. And I'd encourage you to do that. So because we're worshippers, we receive, we give, and we praise. Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. What an amazing prayer of praise to our God. And it captures something of the message that runs right the way through 1 and 2 Chronicles, summed up in that line, yours, Lord, is the kingdom. This book's written to a group of people returned from exile and trying to work out exactly what's going on between them and God. And David's praise here sums it up. God was with them before they came to the promised land. God was with them before they built the Ark of the Covenant. God was with them before they built the tabernacle, a tent where they could come and meet with God. God was with them before they built the temple. God was with them all the time they were in exile in Babylon. And now they're back and God is still with them. Everything is his and he is everywhere. He is the one high over all, as we've seen in our recent series looking at Ephesians. So in all the ups and downs of life and church, God remains on his throne. God does not need a Dave Sunman or an Andrew Clark or anyone else to achieve his purposes, and yet he loves to work in and through us to build his kingdom. But remember, it's his kingdom, not our empire. And in a moment, we're going to respond to this God who's with us, who loves us, and who calls us to serve him in a time of sung praise. But before we do that, I would like to invite Andrew and the deacons to come up onto the platform. I know most of you don't know this is about to happen, but it's happening. Please start moving now. So what you do, you invite people up and then they sit there. Do you need a bigger clue what's going on? See, well, through what I've said this morning, I hope to pass the baton to all of us that make up Hartford Baptist Church. But there is a particular sense that just as David here is passing the baton to Solomon, I'm passing that leadership baton to you. And so I'd like to take the opportunity to pray for you. Shall we pray for our leadership team? Loving Heavenly Father, today we lift these people before you, believing that you've called each one to serve Hartford Baptist Church in servant leadership. I pray for Andrew as he continues in pastoral ministry here, that you will help him to balance the new demands on his time and always to keep you as his first love. I pray for his marriage to Tracy and for his relationships with his children, that you'll continue to strengthen and build those in spite of the growing calls on his time from the church. I pray for Nigel that you'll strengthen him as he takes an administrative lead within the church. I ask that you'll help him to be organized and disciplined and to balance his church and work responsibilities well while blessing his marriage and family life too. I pray for John that you'll help him as he oversees the church finances. I thank you for his integrity in dealing with our money and pray that as he considers how much longer to serve in that capacity, that you will help him to know when it'd be right for him to step down. I pray for Tim, Sarah, Caroline, Paula and Carey, that you will strengthen them as they serve in so many ways across the church. Grant them wisdom to know what should change and develop, and how to work with you to sustain those things that you're doing for the church. And I pray for Esther, Jerry and Roz as they get used to working with those who've served as deacons for longer. that you'll help them to understand the working of the group, to work well within it and bring a voice of challenge when that is necessary. Father God, for each of these people, I pray that you will grant them a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Grant them your spirit of wisdom and power, and use them to continue to build your kingdom. Use them to equip and enable the rest of us to do the works of service that you've prepared already for us to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And before you all sit down, I have a gift for Andrew. You'll all get a cardboard baton as you go. But Andrew, today, I want to pass the baton to you. Serve faithfully, serve well. These are a great group of people. God has placed them in your heart as he's placed them in my heart, and I will be praying for you as you fulfill that pastoral call that you have here.